Messi, and there is an historic goal.
This is La Liga Weekly.
A dramatic equaliser.
Wow, unbelievable. He is something else.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. You see, last week everyone was jumping to conclusions. All this Real Madrid have won the league after 1 week stuff was nonsense. Real Sociedad are going to win the league, it's obvious. Anyway, Zidane's got to go 2 weeks in and they're below Leganés in the table. Actually, Gareth Bale's been taking the heat, so here's a thought. They're short of a central defender and Gareth's a big strapping lad. It could either be him or Karim Benzema because he kept the ball out of the net brilliantly against Valencia. We've been examining the minutiae of Valverde's tactics at Barca. Messi as a false nine, Sergio Roberto as a false right back. But the opposition passing you the ball on the edge of the penalty box can make anyone look like a tactical genius. I've been working hard trying to learn the Las Palmas' coach's name before he gets sacked, but it could be a close-run thing. It was good to see Simeone has been feeding Atletico on the raw meat again. Athletic beat Eibar in the Basque derby thanks to Ada Reis. It was the 36-year-old's fourth goal of the season, but don't fear for the future Athletic fans. He's got Iñaki waiting to take over as long as they make the goals bigger. Ada Reis is obviously too old to be in the Spain squad, thereby leaving space for youngsters such as David Villa to thrive in his place instead. Betis won in front of 45,000. Sevilla won at Getafe in front of 10,000. There was a flash of genius from the Goose, but it wasn't him or Asensio or Koke. We've got the best strike of the week. That was Levante's Enis Bardi, a Macedonia international so famous in Spain that they misspelled his name on the TV graphics after he'd scored. Thank you to everybody who's got in touch at Driscoll FC, at Terry Gibson 88, and at Sky Revista. That's all on Twitter. The Revista Predictor is an utterly random piece of nonsense. you might figure out the league table. Rob Palmer is top. I imagine his son is picking his team, his scores for him. That's the only explanation. David Garrido is second out of blind loyalty to Valencia that got lucky. David will be here later with the score. So thank you to everybody who took part in Revista Predictor. It's on the Sky website. Well, David will be along later to tell us where the scores lie. You can figure out where I am. The opposite of where Real Sociedad are. They are top of the league. I'm not going to go down on league order yet. Terry, shall we start with the exciting game from Sunday night, shall we? Yeah. Real Madrid. Valencia. We have been sort of warning about Valencia, haven't we, that they're not the nonsense team of the last couple of years. They're not going to be figuring in these silly introductions that are right nearly as much as they have been. Shall we have a few questions on... No, let's talk about Real Madrid. We'll get to Valencia later. Zengrin Yoda will start us off. He's a Real Madrid fan. He always gets in touch. It's great to hear from him. Zizou gamble by not picking a half-fit Varane and lost. Defence at sea. Barca in the driver's seat. Help! He likes to dive in, does Zengrin Yoda. When it's CR7 back, games like this remind Madrid why Ronaldo is irreplaceable. Asensio is the only one on his level. Bale and Benzema, not big game players. I've got a load of these. I'll read your selection. Jackie, Benzema's considerable deficiencies as a finisher were exposed last night. Brilliant foil for CR7, but can't be relied on for goals. Casemiro at centre-back is a walking penalty waiting to happen. Lashaita, is it me or has Bale started the season poorly? James says, with recent poor performances from Bale, tonight from Benzema, do you think this could be the end of the BBC and the start of the CIA? We had the CIA last week, of course, didn't we? Who is Cristiano, Isco and Asensio. George says, the 15 minutes that Vasquez played, he did more than Bale. Brought some urgency. Isco fan, enough is enough. You can't keep defending Bale because he's British or a nice guy. And Noor says, we all know that Gareth is out of form after his long injury last season. But there are other important issues as well. Ramos's red cards, two injury-prone defenders, Varane and Vallejo, will make us suffer a lot this season. So where do you want to look
poor
back on the game?
Real Madrid fans. Calm down. Let's start with Bale.
Yeah, go on.
I would say
and reports today in Spain of a Man United bid coming in for him. So tell us how he's playing.
I think it's too late in this window. I'd be amazed if
a deal that big.
Yes,
to start this. Late.
I mean, it's not impossible. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but I would be. And also, I think Real Madrid need the numbers. I think last night was a good example. What I mentioned in the past few weeks about the established senior players departing the club. And you're expecting to get away with it to a degree. Then in week two, you've got no Ramos, no Varane. You're with Nacho, Casemiro playing as centre-backs. So I think that could be an issue. So I think the last thing Real Madrid would choose to do now would be to allow another senior, established player, quality player as well, depart with such a short space of time to bring in a replacement. So I think I don't see that happening now. But what I would say about Bell's performance is that I think he's just been ordinary. And in the past, he's shown us to be an extraordinary player. And at the moment, we're not seeing that. I'm not seeing that dynamic Gareth Bale where at times he took your breath away when he stripped past a fullback or run from deep and run through the centre of the pitch with a ball. We haven't seen that for this season anyway. So whether there's a question mark over it, a clear question mark over his confidence.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's... I'm not sure why that should be. He scored in the first week, so you'd expect that to get him up and running. Whether he's confident in his body at the moment, we don't know. Whether he's totally recovered, has faith in the surgery that he had on his ankle.
And that's crucial for him, isn't it? Because he's not the most technical player, is he? He's not like some of the players at his level have better techniques, if you're being blunt about it. Whereas Gareth Bale is a big, strong, his attribute, fast, physical player.
A skillful player, but athleticism is obvious attribute, isn't it? Now it's jumping, running, it's heading goals in, you know, it's... And we haven't seen that dynamic play from Gareth Bale just yet. But please, I would say that 2 games into the season, with Asensio being in unbelievable form, and we'll talk about him in a minute, but with Gareth Bale, I would say 2 games in. Likewise with Benzema, he's served Real Madrid well. He's got big goals at the right time. It's one of those games... Last night, where an hour in, you knew that he wasn't going to score a goal. And at the end of the game, a really good chance popped up. And he kind of looked at the look of a player that himself believed that he wasn't going to score in that particular game. So that's going to be an issue going into the next game for Real Madrid. So I think it just needs to be an element of being realistic. This is what Zidane has got. He didn't have an awful lot of choice last night against Valencia in terms of who played at the back. Casemiro, I think, was probably the most obvious one. We talked about Ramos being missing, Varane being missing. Jesus Vallejo is injured as well. So it's not going to happen too often where you get 3 central defenders missing.
Sort of. We don't know Vallejo particularly well, do we?
No, that's...
Varane is injury prone and yep. Ramos is...
Does pick up
suspension.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, so and last night you kind of feel that if Pepe had been given another year that he would have played last night.
Would you
night.
Sign a central defender?
No.
Right.
So believe it or not.
Right, OK. Yep. You think you'd do
and
fine.
The interesting was Diego Llorente leaving as well, wasn't it?
Yes.
I know they got a few million for him from Real Sociedad, but he's the player that could have done what Casemiro. He could play holding midfield, but he is more like a centre-back than Casemiro. So it's going to be interesting. It's Zidane's choice. I'm sure that all the players that left the club, he had the final say. But he's chosen to go with the 4 centre-backs that he believes should be enough for this season. So I think it's late in the day now. I'd be surprised to see any new players coming into Real Madrid at the moment.
So let's talk about Valencia. They had a new player, didn't they, in Condogbia, who played well. It wasn't just him, though. It was a good performance, wasn't it? Nick Taylor says, different feel to Valencia this year. Organised, hard-working, positive when going forward. They've signed well. Carlos Solé has a huge future. Daniel says, are the heady days of Villa and Silva back, or is it a flash in the pan? Another Nick says, great entertainment. Carlos Solé looks a bright prospect. And Bradley says, Condogbia is Nzonzi-esque for Valencia. Mm. Another solid signing.
Yep, I agree. And we were all hopeful, weren't we, that there was going to be an improvement because we had experience of the coach. We know he's quite pragmatic. He's a very good coach in terms of organising. He's just the right coach for Valencia.
He's what they've needed all along,
exactly.
All the way along with Peter Lim's money, a really good experience.
And
coach.
They've had that massive outgoings in terms of players that have left the club. I won't go as far to say that a lot of them were deadwood because they weren't even at the club. They were on loan at other clubs, but it was kind of untidy, wasn't it? And I think with Marcelino coming, he's cleared the decks of all those players that he didn't want, the ones that were on loan, a lot of them have been moved on permanently now. And he's more than happy to put his faith in the Cantera, the youth system, which has served Valencia unbelievably well over the years. So he's the right choice. And they're still continuing to make good signings. And let's not forget, we talked about Real Madrid missing the 2 centre-backs. Valencia were missing probably, I would imagine, their first 2 centre-backs. I think Garay, who started the season, and Gabriel, they've signed from Arsenal, were both injured.
Yeah, so it's interesting though, isn't it? Because that's quite a lot of central defenders they've got at the club.
It is, but I think when you think Ruben Vezo was on loan at Granada last season, so he would probably be down the pecking order. Jason Murillo has been brought in on loan from Inter. He will probably feel he's got a chance of the out the three of them of being one of the two. But so it gives them a little bit of solidity in the heart of defence. They've chopped and changed, haven't they, centre-backs in the last few seasons. We could come up with a whole list of Abdenura, Adelan Santos, Mangala was there. That was just last season. So they needed some stability at the back, which they've got. It was an interesting choice from Marcelino to play the two left-backs.
Yes.
And combine them down the left side. And it didn't have any hint of being a tactic where he was looking to shut up, the lock down the left side of the pitch.
They got forward. They combined well. The first goal,
and they swapped about a little bit. It wasn't a problem if Lato was ahead of Gaia, because Gaia was quite happy, it was his position, to drop back in at the left-back role. They worked really well. It was lovely to the equalising goal from Soler, to see it created totally by three young players. Soler has been playing, obviously, and Guy have been playing in the first team a while, but Lato is getting his chance now after impressing at the end of last season. So to see those three combine for a really good goal as well was really pleasing for Valencia and their supporters. And it was so important. We were hoping that they were going to be better this season. And what was crucial was that they got off to a good start. And then that feel-good factor will be there at the Mestalla the next time they play there. And people will have, Valencia fans will be encouraged with the direction that the club are taking now, as opposed to what's been going on the last couple of years.
Well, I went slightly out of order because we haven't talked about Asensio. Opanski says, Asensio is the jewel in the crown of La Liga. It's sad watching him play for your rivals. He's a Barca fan. Sam says, hypothetical situation in which Real Madrid have to sell one of Cristiano or Asensio. Who would you sell? You don't have to spend too long on it. It is a hypothetical.
I guess you would probably sell Ronaldo, wouldn't you, I would imagine? Because Asensio is 11 years younger.
When you're looking at the prices that
they're talking
for players, we'll get to Dembele in a minute, but there's another, a rookie.
There's my headline for this week from the podcast. Gibson says, sell Ronaldo. No, it would make common sense, wouldn't it? 11 years younger. In fairness to Ronaldo, if he plays last night, Real Madrid win that.
Yeah.
Probably 4-5-2.
Yeah,
and we're talking completely different about Valencia, despite the fact they put up a really good fight. They did concede quite a few chances. And Benzema was the main culprit. And you feel that there were the type of goals that Ronaldo has shown in the last couple of years that he's become an expert at, the one-touch finishes, crosses into the box. So you do feel that with Ronaldo, he's such a miss for Real Madrid. But Asensio, all the comebacks last season were based around the Ramos, weren't they, and Ronaldo. And neither were playing last night, and they needed a comeback. And it was quite remarkable to see a player of that age. You could see the trust in the players when they got the set piece. It suited a left-footer.
Yeah.
Gareth Bale wasn't on the pitch. But there was no debate. Modric went across and had a little look at it and just, you'll score this. Gets the equaliser. And for a young player to make that transition from coming from Mallorca, staying at Mallorca an extra season after Real Madrid had bought him, then going to Espanyol and performing rather well. We didn't think, I think if I'm being honest, nobody thought he was going to be this good so quickly.
Yeah, his trajectory has been superb, hasn't it? It's got
last 6 months.
Yeah, much better.
Yes.
I mean, he was a nice player. He was a good player at Espanyol, wasn't he?
Exactly.
He's done brilliantly.
And when he came back, I was thinking, I wonder if they could have left him at Espanyol another season to play regular, as opposed to coming back to Real Madrid and perhaps not getting as much playing time. Whereas at Espanyol, he was playing week in, week out. Totally wrong. And Zidane, like Marcelino, has been willing to give the young players opportunities. And he's made the breakthrough from that shadow squad we had last season at Real Madrid, where Zidane was fortunate enough and trusted them to play the league games against the likes of Deportivo La Coruña. I remember them winning Sporting Gijón towards the latter stages of the season and being important wins in winning the title. He's the one that's made the breakthrough. Some have moved on, haven't they? James and Morata, obviously, and Pepe have moved on. But he's the one that's made that breakthrough from being in that shadow team, the backup squad, to he has to play the next game. That's an absolute certain. Whether Ronaldo was available, he's not, but if he was available or not, Asensio, after that performance, has to be playing in the starting 11 in the next match. Now, whether that's going to change, I think Ronaldo's got another two games left, hasn't he, on his ban.
Yeah.
Whether that's going to give him Zidane time to then rest the player, Champions League starts as well. So, but at this moment, to see a 21-year-old make that rapid progress, scoring goals against Bayern Munich in the Champions League, scoring in the Champions League final, two goals against Barcelona in the Super Cup, dragging his team to get a point last night at the age of 21. And he has everything. Balance, skill, touch, technique, the ability to dribble and take players on. He could look after himself. By that, I mean not going around kicking people. I mean holding, withstanding physical pressure from players now who know that he's so good, they're going to try and be aggressive on him. He can withstand that. He's not bothered in the slightest about taking people on and risking, you know, taking a whack or two. Finishing, it seems he never misses.
He made that look easy.
Incredible.
I mentioned this of Messi last season, a tap-in from the edge of the penalty area. It looks like he's just tapping that into the net.
Well, the Barcelona goal as well was very similar, wasn't it? Where I was critical of Ter Stegen from that moving. There was an element of surprise from Asensio. It's a really interesting technique. I've done a little bit of analysis for Revista, talking to Guillaume, and I compared it to a topspin forehand from a tennis player.
The technique. Up and over it.
Up and over the net, and you go over it. We've seen players do it from set pieces, from a dead ball, but he seems to have to make it look really easy when the ball is dribbling with the ball at his feet. The goal against Valencia, he actually knows exactly where he's hitting that. He's not just hitting that like the majority of players. When you're at that range, that distance, you just go for power. And might slightly cut across the ball. You might wrap your foot around the ball to try and get a little bit of curl. But he actually looked like he was passing it with decent pace exactly where the ball ended up. There was no accident. It went to the right of the goalkeeper and then so found its way in the corner. He's a remarkable player. I'm actually excited about watching him now on a regular basis because I think he's going to be one of the top players in the world. But in my opinion, he's already a superstar.
So how much would you pay for him? If Mbappe, if Neymar was 200 million...
Be around that figure, wouldn't it? It would have to be around that figure.
We're talking about £200 million, million euro, pounds, whatever.
I did see him linked with Arsenal, but
he might do.
No.
Right, let's move on to let's do Barcelona now. Karan says, is Messi's role now how Iniesta played under Guardiola, and Iniesta's role how Xavi played? La Liga Gav says, Messi back as a false nine. Is there anything better to watch in world football when he's playing that role? So they won. They won 2-0 away to Alaves. Two second half goals. They could have conceded. Alaves had chances on the break.
Sabrina.
So where does how good a performance?
But do you know what? It doesn't matter. They were a club in crisis, a team in crisis, club in crisis, troubles off the field, Neymar leaving the club, Suarez injured. And they've managed to, I spoke about it last season, getting through this first period of the season where you've got two games, international break. I was going to do an analysis bit about Barcelona this weekend, but it doesn't matter because what there's talk of Suarez being available again after the international break, Dembele coming in on the left side of the attack, we presume. So all of a sudden you're looking at Messi, Suarez and Dembele as opposed to Messi, Vidal, De La Feu. It's quite ironic, isn't it? That a week, 2 weeks, the last couple of weeks, we've been doing the podcast and there we are with Barcelona with 100% points. And being in good shape and better to come. Regarding Messi's false nine position, when Suarez is fit, Suarez will go back as the striker again. And clearly, I think it was quite bizarre watching Barcelona at the weekends. Messi was playing the false nine, and it was almost like a practice session, a challenge set to them, whether they could score a goal without anybody getting in the penalty area. Because it was Messi was playing right, left, dropping deep. He wasn't being very dynamic. The two times he gets in the penalty area apart from missing the penalty, he scores goals, he hits the bar. So it was quite a pedestrian performance from Barcelona. It was a learning curve for Valverde. It's not something he would have come up against in the past. Well, he actually said that their striker was closer to the midfield players as opposed to Piqué and Umtiti. The striker, Ruben Sabrina, was dropping deep, playing against for Athletic Bilbao and the other clubs he's managed. He's never had to play against a team that were willing to give up 75% possession. At one stage, it was almost 500 passes to Barcelona and Alaves hadn't reached 100. So it was a learning curve for him. The biggest lesson he would have learned, though, was when you got Messi, you've got a better chance of winning football matches and winning trophies. So it was a remarkable performance for someone who had to work really bloody hard to score a goal. for Messi to make it look as easy as he does without breaking sweat, with two excellent finishes, that job done for Barcelona, and they can now look forward to, you know, the better players coming back, the better players joining the club. But some surprise decisions from Valverde again at the weekend.
So James says, in fact, no, let's do this one. Craig says, apart from all of them, where is Sergio Roberto's best position?
Midfield. One of the midfield three when Barcelona player three. I think he's underrated. I think he's an excellent player. Not right back. I thought after Nelson Semedo played so well the week before, that was going to be the start of him having a run in the team. Surprised at the weekend when we saw the team, we thought Vidal would be right back and Sergio Roberto in the midfield area. But it was the other way around. Vidal was playing almost as a winger, crossing balls to nobody in the box. And Sergio Roberto playing right back.
So. Got to be careful at Barcelona, haven't you? Because Mascherano stood in at centre-back, didn't he, about 8 years ago and, and never got away from it, never again. Dembele questions, James says, Dembele is far from the finished product. Can't seem to shoot, for example. Would he be more charisma or Cristiano? And the other thing is, all of the tinkering that Valverde's done so far, I mean, this is the problem with the transfer window being where it is, isn't it? It's going to change, isn't it? When Dembele is available, and as you say, Suarez is available.
Exactly. We're talking about Messi. Is he a Xavi? Is he playing in the Iniesta role? Is Iniesta playing like Xavi? Yeah, I get that in the games that we're witnessing at the moment. But I feel when Suarez is back, Dembele plays, then Messi is going to go back to being the Messi that we've seen recently, where he's been given that free role. The rest of the team has to adapt. So he may start on the right. It's so important for Barcelona to have a recognised striker, though. Because
so you're not a fan of false nines?
No.
Right.
No. No, I still think it had the look, Barcelona at the weekend, of them of Spain. I know they won the European Championships playing the false nine, but there are a lot of games where Spain played with the false nine where everyone was saying they need... The player they needed was Messi. If Messi was Spanish, that would have made the difference. So I think you do need a focal point, someone to bounce it off of, someone to start the line in terms of defending. And Suarez fits that bill perfectly. So, and it allows Messi then to drift in and out of the game, pop up in different areas, go to places on the pitch where he feels he can get on the ball, take advantage of the maybe the weaker defender and stuff like that. But you need that. I do feel Barcelona need that focal point. It must be frustrating when you've got so much possession and you look up and there's no one to actually play the ball forward to. Because it might be Messi with the ball, who's dropped deep, looking up, playing the ball forward, and he's thinking, oh, that I should be there, you know, or get working really hard to get the ball down the flank, pushing the full back on, getting a two against one situation and crossing the ball and no one in the penalty area. So I think they do need a recognised striker.
Mike says, you might not know the answer to this, I don't, but he says, generally, how much can a club spend from transfer cash they receive? Say, of the $202 million for Neymar, again, not entirely sure what the final payment is, say if 26 is a loyalty bonus, 20 million goes to an agent, how much are they left to spend on players? I'm not sure about those figures, but the answer, I don't know, is the answer.
No.
It is complicated and it's not as straightforward. But
there,
they already had some budget,
didn't they? Financial fair play rule, isn't there? I think where a team's not allowed to overspend €30 million debt on
their
income.
Yeah, unless you're PSG, in which case it's fine. I think it's the small print, isn't it?
Fine is the correct word. They'll just pay a fine.
Yeah.
And they couldn't afford to pay a fine. But they'll spread it out, won't they? Which I think is why we're seeing all these bizarre loan deals.
Yes.
Mbappe to PSG is initially a loan, isn't it? Probably spread the cost of him on next summer's accounts.
Yeah,
I'm presuming.
So why would you allow that? Why would you bring in rules and then allow people to break them quite so publicly? Or work their way around them publicly?
The good thing about financial fair play, it has stopped clubs in that we had so many players in Spain, talk about La Liga, that were owed money by clubs because clubs weren't willing to pay their debts. They were spending unrealistic amounts of money on players that they couldn't afford and were never going to pay.
Yeah.
We had a situation with Portsmouth, didn't we, that dropped down the leagues because they went for it in one particular season over a small period of time, which cost their club a lot of money. So I think the idea was to stop those instances. I mean, Deportivo La Coruña is still paying off for winning their league title at the beginning of the century because out of the blue, they suddenly started acquiring all these superstars. And literally 15 years later, I was still struggling to come to terms financially with that one or two season spell they had. So if it puts a stop to that's a good thing. Then it's open to the debate whether clubs should be allowed. Are we going to be like American sports and try and have a level playing field? Or should the game be open to rich, wealthy owners who want to spend their money on whatever they want? They've got the right to spend it on whatever they want. So there's a balance to be had. Actually, I don't mind that if you've got a rich football club that can spend whatever they want. No one has to sell their players. But I like the idea of financial fair play stopping the situation in Spain there. Every player is paid. None of them are owed money. We haven't got clubs left, right and centre that are in debt, that are dropping down the divisions and disappearing. So it does work to a degree.
Yes, and you do have to sell if they've got a release clause, of course, the players. So
yeah.
That is the difference. A quick one, Neil says, actually you don't have to answer, but Neil says, I'm surprised Barca didn't make any attempt to re-sign Alexis Sanchez. I think we made the point.
Yeah, and it's caused a debate, actually. I think there are a lot of people that think he's not the answer, but he has to be better than what they currently have. But I think Dembele, they were always going to get asked to pay more than any player that, you know, because of the money they receive for Neymar. Mm-hmm. But from what I know and what I've seen of Dembele, the age he is, they're going to get caught for the money, but I think he's an exciting signing.
Elliot, quick point, if they spend the Coutinho money, because they're not getting Coutinho, I think.
Don't know. I mean, there's still talk of it.
If they spend it on other players, he lists a few, are they better off than without Neymar? He would like them to sign Keita from Lazio. The irony of that, of course, is that he was a Barcelona youth team player and he's now being quoted for lots of money from Lazio.
Not Seydou Keita, the one that was helpful about 10 years ago.
Yes, Balde Keita. He's from Girona. But he plays for Senegal and Lazio. But anyway, by the by, shall we move on to the league leaders? Real Sociedad. Two games in, 6 goals scored, 2 conceded. Cambo, it was great to see Xabi Prieto make his 500th appearance for La Real, but wonderful that he got a goal as well. Callum wants to know what we made of Juanmi. He thought he looked excellent. Big congrats to Xabi Prieto, it's his 500th appearance. Stuart, excellent performance by La Real, but Villarreal were a shambles defensively. Is that just new players settling, or should they be concerned? And Jackie says, an underwhelming start to the season for Villarreal. Semedo was disastrous. The other Semedo was disastrous.
Underwhelming, I think, is correct, isn't it? Couldn't defend the ball in the box, whether it was set piece or across from open play. Bad news, Andres Fernandez.
Yeah, another injury to a goalkeeper.
On the goal from Wanmi, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's horrible to see. Francesco Rabal will be under pressure. Before the season started, I thought they were possible contenders to do better than they did on a good season last year. I thought they could, with Bakker signing, Bakambu, Full Nails, I thought there was a real potential. Of course, there still is. I can't in one breath say to the Real Madrid fans, calm down. But for Villarreal, with 2 defeats, I'm scratching my head to try and find out why they're playing both games away. So that's been a slight disadvantage, losing away at Levante, getting beat heavily 3-0 at half time away to Real Sociedad isn't the type of performance you're expecting of Villarreal. So I agree totally with Xabi Prieto. He's been an outstanding footballer, and an outstanding player for Real Sociedad. Always he's a great example, isn't he, of the type of player that Real Sociedad have had over the years. And of course, one of those that's been willing to stay, but I'm sure over the years he's had opportunities to change clubs, to play 500 games, to score a goal, an emphatic 3-0 win, and they are continuing the excellent work that we saw from Eusebio Sacristan since he's been at the club.
And good to see the Bakambu combination up front for Villarreal, although they didn't obviously create too much. Atletico, should we talk about them? Jackie says, great to see Atletico impose themselves on and off, up from the off, after a negative display against Girona. And Shane, can someone please go to the beach that the Las Palmas players are lying on and kick over their sandcastles and tell them to get their finger out? It does look like very much like they've continued the easygoing finish to the season, and no one's reminded them that actually, it started again, boys, and now you're bottom of the league.
Exactly. And Atletico first.
Yep.
They
much better, weren't they?
An hour against Girona, I was critical, negative, backs to the wall stuff, and then Simeone had no choice but to start chucking on more attacking players. They were down to 10 men. So they scored two goals in that last half an hour when he was positive. But he had no choice. He was forced into it. And then to see him carrying on again at the weekend, I'm hoping, I'm not going to say lesson learned, because Simeone's wise enough to make up his own mind. But I wondered whether it was a line that was crossed, where I would accuse Atletico of being dull and boring in the first hour against Girona. Yep. It's a newly promoted team that were probably going to be apprehensive. They were fired up to play Atletico Madrid. And then after 10 minutes, they're thinking, is this all they're offering? Now, at the weekend, he left out players. He changed the
left
the
out
nature
older players,
of
didn't he?
All of, yep. One friend, yes. Gabby and
Godin
Torres.
Godin came back in to play centre-half.
Godin came back in. Koke was the second oldest player in the team at the age of 25. He's 2 days older than Veselico. The rest were 24, 23, 22. I think it's been picked up in Spanish press. I think we picked up on it at the weekend as well. The average age was just 23, I think, just over 23 years old. So what it was a more dynamic, youthful, vibrant set of players that could fulfil the requirements of Simeone. I thought Girona worked harder than Atletico in the first game. Now, that doesn't happen. That shouldn't happen. But I think when you've got Torres, who's toiling away against Girona with very little support because everybody was back behind the ball, then you get Gabby in midfield, and who's 33. Juanfran is not as explosive as he was, so he's more happy to sit in that right-back position, not get forward in the heady days when they were winning the title, and he was pushing forward. He was a real threat playing in an attacking full-back position. He's switched modes now. He just wants to, because of the age he is, it's easier to sit deep. And then Gabby is the same. It's a little bit of self-preservation from older players that play in that type of position, that start dragging people back, dragging Griezmann back, tucking Koke inside, getting Koke alongside you. Juanfran's doing the same at right back. He's not pushing forward. So it was a big change in the dynamic of Atletico Madrid. Now, all of a sudden, you've got Koke breaking into the box, getting two goals. Thomas Partey is an all-round athlete that can play as well. Sol, there's your three sort of young, vibrant midfield players. Correa, Carrasco and Vieto up front as well. Of course, Godin, the age of Godin at 31, and yet the average age of the team was still only 23. So there'll be opportunities, and it will be the right time to play Torres, Gabby and Juanfran. But I think, by and large, I'm hoping that Simeone, 7 goals in the last game and 30 minutes against Girona. Clearly, he'll be annoyed they're conceding, but the benefits of being more attacking and more... He used the word, he was delighted with the enthusiasm of his team right from the kickoff. You get that with young players.
Oh, they very much were, weren't they? They were all over them, weren't they?
They were closing one of the goals.
Two goals,
the second
goal, and
Carrasco won the ball back quickly. Yeah. It might have been for Correa's goal, I'm not sure, but out the five. But there was one where they lost the ball and Carrasco went and got it back quickly and round the edge of the penalty area, and before you know it, they'd scored again. So they were terrific at the weekend.
What's the Las Palmas' coach's name again?
Manolo Marquez.
Well done. It's come up from the BT. It's not his fault, is it? In that, you know, I'm being flippant, but genuinely, we often see a sacking in October, don't we, in La Liga. And some of these managers will already be under pressure. And it's silly, but it's real. In fact, so that moves us on to...
Well, Pitolo couldn't play at the weekend, could he? But,
yeah.
But I'm not sure where he fits in this new dynamic, athletic...
Yeah.
Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
So he couldn't play at the weekend. Boateng has gone. Roque Mesa has gone. They brought one or two in, haven't they? But it's... And we expect better from Las Palmas.
Their old coach is doing okay, though, at Betis. They had 45,000 in. Richard says, how good it was to see the Benito Villamarín rocking on Friday night. Having that fourth end done will make a big difference. It was a good game, wasn't it, against Celta Vigo? 2-1. They came from behind. A couple of headers. Lots of headed goals in La Liga this week.
There was three in this game, wasn't there? It looks good on television, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The stadium. It's almost like watching a game at the Nou Camp. But in green, everything's green. Big stadium, you can't see the top of the stand. And it was a
big and tight,
excellent,
isn't it?
Yeah. Crowd, and it's a smashing place to go and watch a game of football. Great fans, and it was a close game. Celtic have been unlucky in both their games so far. Not seen a happier manager than Juan Carlos Anzui after losing the first two games of the season, conceding relatively late goals. He looks just happy to be coaching in La Liga, and but it's tough for them at the moment. No points. Maxi Gomez with another goal. Ruben Castro, Sergio Leon with the first goal for Betis.
I note that Camarasa has been given that as an own goal.
I don't know what different
publications are saying. It's important because he's top of the Pichichi.
It was a header back across goal, wasn't it? It was a hefty deflection. When I saw it was given to Maxi Gomez, I wondered why Delafoe wasn't given the goal last week.
Right,
there was a crossing into the box. Everyone thought it was Messi at first.
Yes.
And then it's an own goal.
Didn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I think that should have been Delafoe's. I mean, Messi's goal at the weekend, the first goal, got a hefty deflection off of Alexis.
Yes, it did, yeah.
So
And he might have saved it, the keeper, mightn't he? Yeah, we don't know. We'll never know, will we?
So when I saw Delafoe, it was an own goal. And you see that Maxi Gomez had been credited with that one. I thought that got a more significant touch on it from Camarasa. Maxi Gomez's header, didn't it? Than Delafoe's slight touch that took it away from the keeper. So I'm pleased to see Betis doing well again.
Richard says, on the subject of managers leaving, do you think Michel should quit Malaga? As it's obvious, he's on a highly to nothing with Altani. #, worse than the Venkis.
Tough because we were...
So they lost, didn't they? Lost 1-0. And you, everything you were saying about Girona putting a load of pressure on Malaga, on Atleti last week, they did this again. It was massive energy in early stages against Malaga.
Yeah, and we shouldn't put down Girona. I think they're not going to be your normal promoted team. They're a decent team with decent players that got decent financial backing, that the takeover or the partnership has been... confirmed now, wasn't it? With 44%. They pay $3.5 million.
Is that right? I don't know.
44%. So they're spending.
But they own the majority.
Shed loads of money on individual players.
Between Man City and the media company, they own more than 80-odd%, don't they? I think. And the fans have a small stake after that.
Pep's brother Perry owns 44.
He's the media
City
company,
Group, 44. And the supporters have the rest. So it just seems bizarre, doesn't it, in this day and age when you can buy a 44% / 88% stake in a club for €3.5 million.
Yes. And sell players for €200 million.
So it's not a drastic defeat for Malaga at Girona. What is a concern is the year-on-year selling of their better players. I mean, unlucky this year with Fornals that was a buyout clause. But this has been happening for 4 or 5 seasons now, and they've survived comfortably, and they've actually... I've enjoyed watching Malaga in recent seasons. They've relied heavily on bringing young players through, but you do wonder whether this season that they've gone to that well too many times, and it's not as... You know, it might not work this season. Should he resign? Well, people are aware, I think, of the rule in La Liga where... If he resigns now, that's his season done in Spain.
Yeah,
I mean, Marcelino didn't even take Villarreal for a game.
And that wasn't his fault. He got sacked as well, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he was still, bizarrely, wasn't allowed to manage, even though he'd not managed Villarreal in one single game. he resigned or left, sacked before the game, the season started. So Michel has to take that into consideration. Also, he would still see it as a proud man that he is still capable, despite the hurdles being placed in front of him, that he can still turn it round for Malaga and, you know, lead them up the table to a comfortable position, try and keep them away from the relegation issues.
And I notice Javi Garcia's out of a job at the moment. He'll be the one. All these managers now fearing for their jobs or the like.
He did fantastically well, didn't he, there?
At Malaga, yeah. 2 years, didn't he? So, yeah, having a good outfit manager hovering is a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, and he kind of fitted the bill in terms of a manager that was happy for the job and happy to do what the club wanted him to do. Whereas Michel is a bigger personality, a bigger name in football, and probably will put up more of a fight in terms of the dealing with the board, with players that he wants that he didn't get, and so there will be more issues with Michel as manager as opposed to Javi Garcia.
Eibar 0, Athletic 1. Adaris with the goal. Jordan says, what does Terry think Athletic can do to improve Iñaki's finishing? He doesn't seem to be developing that part of his game at all.
And that is an issue because it is hard. You can train technically, you can work on different skills, but I think a lot of it is down to the mindset and a lot is down to natural instincts, being a finisher.
Right.
It's not as easy to train as people think.
Right, okay.
I think you can train them to be better technically, but having that mindset when you're faced with the chances the Iñaki Williams got, it's as much of it mental. And that's where a lot of it is. And there are the strikers that are poachers. Javier Hernandez, for instance, you can't teach what he's got because it's all instinct. It's, you know, the way he reacts, the places, the positions he takes up, anticipating where the ball might be at certain times. So I think we talked about it with Andoni, didn't we, the week before? A similar thing. And I think you mentioned Iñaki Williams, didn't you, that often their chances are down the flanks, but they're running down the channels, starting from a slightly wider position. A lot of it can be confidence. It is hard to train someone and change, because you can do the techniques in training on a daily basis. It doesn't particularly matter if you miss two or three of the chances in a practice session. You're not going to get booed and jeered and laughed at and ridiculed by media, 20, 30,000 people. So it's totally different. It practicing in a training session to actually getting that chance and blowing it in professional football on a match day. So it's a difficult one.
Neil Vincent says, Getafe looked good against Sevilla. Unfortunate to lose, in my opinion. And Callum, what's more likely, a sellout for Getafe versus Eibar or goal line technology? So Getafe
didn't have any issues this week, did we, on the goal and technology?
No, it was more of the story was of missed chances this week, wasn't it? Headed goals and missed chances. So Getafe 0, Sevilla 1. It's a good goal, though. I mean, Sevilla were poor, actually. They were not terrible, they don't want to overdo it, but they looked scratchy. Good goal, though, by Ganso.
Just make a point on that. I was disappointed with Eibar. Athletic have played 4 qualifiers already. They haven't brought any new players in. They rely on young players coming up again, which is, again, it serves them really well. And I thought Eibar had an opportunity, and likewise Sevilla, they've played the qualifiers midweek. How nervous was that for them as well? Just scraping through to the knockout, the group stages now, the Champions League. So I thought both teams, Getafe had more of a go. I thought Eibar, one of their main strengths is work rate. And I thought that was an ideal opportunity for Eibar in the Basque Derby, one of the Basque Derbies, to outwork Athletic Bilbao and really test them. And they didn't. And I think that played into the hands of Athletic Bilbao, who would have been tired after being playing on the Thursday night. That was their 4th game in the Europa League. I was surprised how it was started. It's putting a strain on quite a small squad. So I thought the Athletic result was an excellent result, considering the circumstances. And you could say the same with Sevilla as well. Although they weren't at their best, they managed to sneak the win, and it came on the back of the qualifying for the group stages, and it was a traumatic, and certainly not a game they could enjoy midweek.
Two more games to talk about. Actually, top teams. Espanyol 0, Leganés 1, Mantovani with the goal. So Leganés played 2-1-2, better than Real Madrid.
Exactly. I know. What a start. They started well last season, didn't they? So it seems to be something they do, whether they do a good, solid pre-season that sets them up well for the start of the season. And always pleasing to see Mantovani. He was good. You talk about anticipation and acting like a striker. He showed good instinct for that goal.
Yeah,
although scramble, he was knocking about a bit. And
Paulo Lopez was abandoned by his defenders again,
exactly,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
There were Leganés players going for the ball. And
three of them, wasn't
yeah.
there, as opposed to Paulo Lopez on his own.
Yeah. And then the other game, I've mentioned this at the beginning, because it's got the goal, I think the goal of the weekend, this one, the Bardi free kick was
brilliant.
Tremendous strike. So the Levante yeah. 2, Deportivo 2, exciting game. Levante have started... started well, isn't it? You know, we didn't talk about their game last week because I think it was the Monday night game, wasn't it, last week? Morales was excellent in that. He's got sent off then at the
yep.
weekend. But, you know, so far, so good for them.
2-0 down and come back yep. to get the draw. The goal is, if people haven't watched it, watch it.
It's on the Sky website.
Ennis yep. Bardi, and they spelt his name wrong on the
called him
graphics.
Ennis, didn't they, on the Spanish, by the way, on the Spanish graphics, not us.
And Depor will be disappointed, weren't they? I thought they were... half decent against Real Madrid, but clearly being a better team on that night. But to go 2-0 up, Fede and Sydney after just half an hour, long time to hold on to the lead. And of course, Levante, but by that, a sensational free kick. It really is. One of those where you're looking to think, oh, you're not going to shoot from there, are you? And wonderful goal. And Depo will be obviously disappointed to concede a penalty as well. So it was good result, good start for Levante, and a decent start for the three newly promoted teams.
And basically, lots of 1-0s, which is why Rob Palmer is top of the Revista predictor. shall we hear from David Garrido?
It's the man who's been commentating on La Liga pretty much since its inception, Rob Palmer, who leads the way with the Revista Predictor after two match days. Managed to get Girona 1, Malaga 0, absolutely spot on. Managed to get Eibar 0, Athletic 1, absolutely spot on. So 8 points for Rob. No correct first goal scorers in either of those games for any of our pundits. However, what about the game at the Estadio Bernabeu? Well, it finished Real Madrid 2, Valencia 2, and it was Marco Asensio who got the first goal. In terms of the predictions, well, 4 out of our 5 experts, if you want to call them that, went for Real Madrid wins, and they all went for Karim Benzema to score first. Now, having watched the game, it's quite clear that had the game gone on for another 90 minutes, he still wouldn't have scored. Nevertheless, finished 2-2. I went for 1-1. I pick up 1 point for the right match outcome, if you like. So all of that means, in terms of the overall table for the experts, Rob Palmer, 10 points. I've got 6 points. Kevin Keatings, 2 points. David Phillips, 2 points. John Driscoll, 1 solitary, very, very lonely point. Come on, John! Pull your finger out. A few shout-outs, though, to the people who were on Twitter, replied to the pinned tweet at the top of the Twitter feed, at Sky Revista, and did really well. 14 points to at Mossy Skeeto, amazing. And 13 points to at David Beaton 44. And 3 of you got 10 points, at A La Liga, at Sam Leverage, and at Mark Wazinski. Very well done.
At pure luck. That's all it is.
It is.
But if you want to take part and show us how good you are, a Revista Predictor, as David says, it's on the... have a look at either the Twitter or it's on the Sky website as well. And that's where we'll be dropping in the goals from... The outstanding goals, the Bardi goal, for example, was on the Sky website. Revista is Tuesday morning, and there'll be a shortened version of this intro. That'll be on the Sky website as well to do... That you might not want to, as you've listened to the intro already once. I don't know. If you want to listen twice, feel free to listen as many times as you like. That would be good. No La Liga fixtures coming up next weekend. We're into the international break at this, as Terry says, the messy start of the season. However, loads of World Cup qualifiers coming up on Sky. Sky Football is the place to go. So have a look on there. Check out the red button as well. Watch a load of football. But we are back next week. So get your questions in next week. We'll have a bit more time for questions. So we'll see you next Monday for another La Liga Weekly podcast. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
And Messi, there is an historic goal.
This is La Liga Weekly.
A dramatic equaliser.
Wow. Unbelievable. He is something else.